app.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the state of Wiscommon Sense up here on the shores of Lake Wissota, where it's another beautiful day up north on this Tuesday, July 18th. Nice to be back with you. If it's Tuesday, it's election day someplace, including in Wisconsin. A special election in the 24th Assembly District, that is in the North Milwaukee suburbs, Germantown, Grafton, Mequon, Menominee Falls. You are choosing a new state assembly representative for the legislature today. So get out and vote between 7 a.m. and 8 p.m. It's 52 degrees up here on Lake Wissota at the home of our base, 93.5 The Tap. But for folks listening in Amory on Lake Eyre, it's 50 degrees. The Buzz of the North listeners in Hayward, you have 57 right now. Locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, our listeners there have 54 degrees right now, 53 in Madison, 52 in Waukesha. Let's see what's on tap this morning. We'll ask, who cheers against a soft landing? The latest economic data shows better odds than ever of a so-called soft landing for the economy from the pandemic recession. That is certainly better than going from recession to a recovery with inflation and then back to a recession. And yet some folks can't seem to stop rooting for failure so long as it makes, you know, half of the political class look bad. We'll have Governor Tony Evers' comments about tax rebates versus tax cuts as Republicans dither again with a budget surplus. We'll get some of the most clicked stories of the past week from Sherita Booker with Up North News. We'll find out some of the uplifting stories in our daily newsletter from Christina Lori. Then in our second hour, today's Motherhood Monday segment takes place on Tuesday because we were off yesterday. We will have a representative from Planned Parenthood Action of Wisconsin to help women understand why a recent judge's ruling didn't immediately restore abortion access and comprehensive health care rights in our state. And then we'll talk to our friend Kirk Bankstead because there's a part of the political class that claims to be about limited government, but they sure like weaponizing government whenever they're the ones in power. And so Kirk Bankstead will talk about the latest move by some in Oneida County to possibly shut down a thriving local business because it happens to be owned by a vocal progressive whose politics the good old boys don't seem to like. So much going on today. Our phone number, if you care to reach us, is 844-967-2789. Or you can send us questions, comments, and suggestions for the show by email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. If instead of on the radio, you're watching the live feed that we put out on social media, you can put a comment on the Facebook page where you're watching us. We'll see it. We might put that comment up on screen. We are on the Facebook pages for Up North News, for Civic Media, for The Tap FM, that's 93.5 The Tap in Chippewa Falls, and we're on the Up North News Facebook page as well. You'll find out what we do at Up North News over at upnorthnewswi.com. But the biggest news of all isn't about Up North News, but about Civic Media, which is now moved into its brand spanking new headquarters, the new State Street Control Center, just a block or so away from the state capitol. And it's where we find Aaron Zommers, who no longer looks like he's in a tiny closet. It looks to me from this new video feed as if he's in a larger closet. Congratulations on the closet promotion, Aaron.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm honored. It really is nice. This closet has windows. I've been talking about that forever, and it's so nice. I get light from the sun. I can actually see the people that are, I can see the hosts of the shows I'm producing. It's great.
I can see the pigmentation changing already in your skin. It's something. It's no longer like you live in a, you know, underneath a staircase in a Harry Potter book or something like that.
Goodbye, Casper.
This is a nice change for you. Is that Starry Night there? Is that Van Gogh on your t-shirt that you're wearing today?
Kind of. It's Van Gogh, but it's also a stormtrooper. and it has, in the background there, instead of trees, there's the AT-AT walker. So,
oh, good. See, I only saw the top there and I missed all that. In fact, hang on, I'm going to go back here and get this. I've got a Van Gogh that I've got to share myself. I saw the Van Gogh exhibit. I know it was in Madison recently as well, the interactive Van Gogh. So I still have the seat cushion. They give you a seat cushion from it, and it's got a Van Gogh painting on it. So I right away saw, oh, look at him, how artsy he is. Yeah, artsy with Star Wars. That's amazing. Yeah,
this isn't a star. This is the Death Star.
Of course it is. Goodness gracious. Well, anyway, it's great to have you there. Obviously, we'll still work out some kinks here and there. But boy, once we get situated, and I haven't seen the place for months since it was under construction, but I'm sure it is filling in very nicely over there.
Most definitely.
All right. I look forward to talking about that as well as we move things along here. A little bit of business for Up North News. Again, our daily newsletter comes out around 5 a.m. And there's a theme in today's newsletter, some Wisconsin ties to efforts to have better lives for Wisconsin farmers, not just current farmers, but future farmers. There's a program called 40 Acres and a Mule, which is meant to help the small but growing number of Black farmers in Wisconsin. And you really get the sense when you say, well, why is there this effort to help Black farmers? Because there's so few in Wisconsin. Remember what farming represents. It represents land ownership and owning a piece of the country. And so there's a story about that. There's a story about improving the mental health of farmers. There's a story about Steve Stricker striking again, winning his third major on the PGA Senior Tour. And the answer to blank has the best cheese curds in Wisconsin. We have a new question for you this week that we'll talk about on the other side of the break here on Up North News Radio for this Tuesday morning, July 18th. Back after this, you're Up North. We'll have today's history lesson and music break coming up in just a minute, but we can give you a little preview by telling you that Martha Reeves there, Martha and the Vandellas, 82 years old today. More to come, as I said, in just a few minutes. So I was mentioning the Up North News social media feeds, and again, you can find us all over the place just by looking for Up North News WI, and again, don't forget the WI. But one of the new popular feeds, at least as I can see it on Facebook, is, again, another one of these fill-in-the-blanks, or I kind of refer to it more as match game, because you have to read it like Gene Rayburn. Blank has the best fish fry in Wisconsin. And again, it's nothing that nobody has to get, you know, negative and hyper-competitive about it. This is about pride. Where do you like to get your fish fry on Fridays? I mean, there are Facebook groups that are dedicated to rating fish fries around the state. You know what you like, so you let us know who has the best fish fry by going to our social media feed. Just again, on Facebook, look for Up North News WI. Well, the Brewers are getting back in action for the week. They had yesterday off. They had a three-game series coming out of the All-Star break where they swept the Cincinnati Reds in Cincinnati, and so your first-place Milwaukee Brewers have a two-game lead on the Reds right now. And that's the first time that they have had a two-game lead in the division since May 25th. The Brewers were off Monday. They are in Philadelphia. They will start a three-game series against the Phillies. Then they're back home starting Friday for a series against the Atlanta Braves. I mistakenly said Cincinnati yesterday during our brief little online-only show, but it's Atlanta that comes to town this weekend. And we have tickets to give away to Saturday's game. Saturday night, the Brewers are playing the Braves at American Family Field. And I will be off on Friday, which means that I've got to give away those tickets either Wednesday and or Thursday. So stick around for that. And before I tell you about hearing the Brewers, I want to mention one other baseball story. Shohei Ohtani is not just leading baseball in pitching categories, but in batting, he just hit another home run yesterday to help the Angels tie and then win a game. He didn't get the MVP last year because Aaron Judge broke the American League home run record last year. Shohei Ohtani, with yesterday's home run, I think it was his 35th, is on the exact same pace Aaron Judge was last year. He's on pace to tie or break the American League home run record while at the same time being an amazingly accomplished pitcher. It's just something we've never seen in our lifetimes. We'll probably never see again. And it's just fun to watch those highlights. So catch that when you can. I know it's a West Coast team, but you know, the highlights are worth viewing. But back to the Brewers on Civic Media. We have a couple of stations where you can hear the Brewers games in the Fox Valley. Put that radio on Oshkosh Air Support 98.3 and 1100 AM or around Richland Center. Put it on WRCE News from the Center, 107.7 FM and 1450 AM. Hey, as always, we like to get our week started with a look at what you have been reading or viewing or clicking on over at Up North News, not just our website, upnorthnewswi.com, but the Up North News social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, you know, all of the things. Sherita Booker tracks all of the things for us as our social media manager. Sherita, how's it going?
Good, Pat. How are you?
Very good, thanks. Let's start with, in terms of the popular stories that you can find, there was some pretty big news from the standpoint of both television shows and the cooking world, and that a very popular franchise is now going to originate from Wisconsin. Tell us what that story is about.
Yeah, the new season of Bravo's Top Chef is heading to the Dairy State. So they'll be filming in Door County, Milwaukee, and Madison later this year. And if you're not familiar with Top Chef, it's a competition-based reality show where chefs go head-to-head and cooking challenges.
I'm not familiar with it. And I mean, I know of it, but I've never like sat through a season of it or anything like this. But that's got to be a tremendous opportunity to showcase the state, especially the fact that they're going to all these different parts of Wisconsin.
Yeah. And we are like a culinary capital. So that'll be really cool to see our people here and representing for us.
Well, I don't think it's any big secret that in Wisconsin, we like our food. some of us show it a little more than others. So the fact that this was a popular story, was it, you know, across all the platforms, or does something like that perform really well on, you know, Instagram versus Facebook? Was it, did it have a lot of, you know, like positive comments? What do you see in a story like that when it plays well?
On Instagram, our Instagram kind of, I think we had over 1,000 likes and shares, comments. So it took off on our Instagram mostly.
Okay. And let's see. Second one is about the strike at Lina Kugel's. And so we're going to put in the disclaimer here that this is pre-recorded prior to Monday morning, the 6 a.m. hour. And so if anything developed prior to that, we'll correct the record later. But as we record this, workers are still on strike at the Lina Kugel Brewery. And again, it's not something we typically cover in that we do so much out of the state capitol and out of Washington, D.C. and various feature stories around Wisconsin. But this was an important story about Wisconsin and the workplace. And clearly, I think part of it is just the Lina Kugel name, you know, is very synonymous with Wisconsin. But this did get a lot of activity, people hearing that there was this only the second strike in the company history.
Yep. They're on strike due to low wages, and brewery worker John McGillis, who's been with the company for nearly 34 years, said it was supposed to be the busiest week of the year for the plant, which is when they produce Oktoberfest. But he said that was not happening.
No, and so that's what folks were looking out for, was, you know, whether the bottling was going to be done by, you know, management and replacement workers, or would things be resolved in any short order. And so people have been watching our social media feed for updates on that. And so again, as things develop, we'll keep everybody up to date on those details. All right. Now something that's also synonymous with Wisconsin, but I think got clicks for all the fun reasons. And that's one of our many maps are just, people like to see maps. They like to see the way that we, you know, showcase our state by regions or by favorites. And in this case, it's of course by cows.
Yeah, so we have a map of cow-to-person ratio in Wisconsin, which is so Wisconsin, but there's over 6 million people living here, and we have about 3.4 million cows. Well, according to data from the U.S. Census and the Department of Agriculture, in some counties like Lafayette and Buffalo, cows actually outnumber humans. welcome to Wisconsin, right?
That's right. Oh, trust me. I mean, Clark County, I'm sure, is very high up on that list. Chippewa County can't be far off. So I'm sure people would love to go see that and try to figure out if the county that they're in, you know, kind of matches with their guess as to whether it's one of the more cow dense counties in the state, shall we say. Did you get the impression through the comments that people were liking that?
Absolutely. I think we have like over like almost 2,000 engagements on that post.
That's great. It's not your typical map. And that's what you hope to find when you're scrolling on social media. There's so many things. And what gets you to stop the scroll? Well, it turns out to be a map about cow ratios. That'll do it. So look for updates on all kinds of stories, not just on our website, not just on this here radio show, but through all the social media sites. Pick your favorite one. There's no doubt Sherita Booker is working on it. Thanks for helping kick off the week with us, Sherita. Have a great day.
You too, Pat.
You know, as far as the follow-up from that, since we worked on that, the Leinenkugel strike is still ongoing right now. And I was just looking at a story done by Channel 18 in Eau Claire asking about what kind of an impact it's having. And after talking to some local bars that sell Leinenkugel's products, they have seen a decrease in Leine sales. I will admit to being one of those folks who the other day in a watering hole nearby ordered a spotted cow instead. I mean, I'll drink that sometimes anyway, being a Wisconsin beer, but I didn't feel any great need to cross that kind of a virtual picket line, shall we say. But there was an interesting point that was raised in the story. Remember, Leinenkugel's is our hometown brewery up here in Chippewa Falls. And you want it to succeed, but you also want the workers to get a fair wage. And the beef isn't really with, say, the Leinenkugel's family, because they long ago, the brewery was sold first to Miller, and then that became Miller Coors, and then that became Molson Coors. And Molson Coors is the global conglomerate that is now the group that owns the little Leinenkugel brewery here in Chippewa Falls. And so, as one of the bar owners or bartenders noted, if you're going to take a stance on this, it's not just about Leinenkugel's beer, but frankly, anything Molson Coors makes, which is not that far off from the other big brewery. And that, of course, would be Anheuser-Busch. Because remember how people were, you know, boycotting Bud Light for having the audacity to embrace diversity? Well, Bud Light's no longer the number one beer in the country. It's now Modelo, but that's brewed by the same people at Anheuser-Busch. So we have these huge conglomerates that we're dealing with, these multinational corporations. And clearly, as we saw in the case of Bud Light, if enough people want to make a statement, whether right or wrong, it can have an impact, which, thanks to this story, now has me, you know, rethinking my beer purchases overall until the Leinenkugel's workers are getting, you know, basically what is a fair wage for them. And let's keep that in mind of what a fair wage is. The company is saying that they've offered a competitive package or competitive wage package, something along those lines. Well, what they mean is, yeah, for Chippewa Falls, where the cost of living isn't as much as some other places. But we do live in a global economy. When I buy something, say, at Amazon, they don't ask for my zip code. I pay the same price, whether I'm here or, you know, in Milwaukee or in New York City. And so when companies want to give a competitive wage package for where you are, they're dismissing our ties to the larger economy. That larger economy is getting better bit by bit. And yet there are still people who are working so hard to undermine it or root against it. I was looking at a New York Times article about how there's an increasing sense among economists that we are heading for that soft landing where you tame inflation without ratcheting up unemployment to such a level that you end up triggering another recession. And yet, the article notes in the New York Times, as pay continues to climb, Companies are going to charge more to protect their profits, and consumers will who can afford to pay up will, and that'll keep inflation higher than it should. But the question goes, why should companies charge more to protect profits that they gained during a time of inflation? It's one thing to have inflation. It's another to be price gouging, which is what you have to look out for as some companies work to, in their own self-interest, undermine the greater economy. There's still a lot of job openings. And so we're going to keep watching the wages as well as the prices and making sure that workers get a fair shake all the way around. Christina Lorie has the uplift coming up after this break. You're up north.
And the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Welcome back to Up North News Radio, where it's time for the uplift, where our newsletter community editor, Christina Lorie, joins us to talk about some of the stories you'll find that are more on the positive side, because there's plenty enough for me to bring you all down every morning. Christina's here to bring you up, and we're very thankful for that. Christina, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Pat?
Good, good. You know, so much of the content that you get to work with has people basically taking lemons and making lemonade out of it in some degree or another. The pandemic, of course, was a horrible thing, a great tragedy, but from it sprang so many good deeds, large and small. And, you know, some are almost tiny and symbolic, but they still mean something if they bring a little joy to other folks. And that's one of the stories that you're going to be planning for our newsletter. Can you tell us more about it?
Yeah, I think the pandemic, a lot of us went one of two ways. Either you kind of went into a doom spiral, which a lot of people, including myself, did originally. And then you realized, hey, this is going to be going on for a while and you don't want to dwell in that. So you started looking for the good in everyone and everything. That's actually how the whole good news search came, something that I was so interested in during the pandemic. And that's also what happened to this Madison man named Ken Fager. He was feeling super isolated. He was looking for ways to stay entertained and connected with other people. So he came up with this idea that was really small, so small, he could make it on his 3D printer that he had. He started making what he called mini Wisconsins, which were just replicas of the Wisconsin State Capitol building in mini form. I mean, probably half the size of a playing card. And he would put them in a plastic bag along with a little Jolly Rancher to entice kids. And he would put them in little free libraries around, at first, just the Capitol building. And now anywhere in Wisconsin that he travels to, although he's mainly based in the Madison area, you'll find them, you know, all across town, Middleton, Sun Prairie, the suburbs as well. And basically, the idea is just still to connect people. He posts when and where he's hiding them on his social media, and it's basically a real life scavenger hunt. It's super fun. I am a frequenter of Little Free Libraries, and I'm just disappointed that I have not stumbled across one yet. Kind of continuing my thing that I always say, I've never won anything. I've never won any sort of raffle, any sort of guessing game.
And so you're now at the level of trying to win a mini state capitol.
I would love one. It would look beautiful in my apartment, Ken, if you are listening.
It's a little, it's kind of new to me, you know, being out here in a rural area where there aren't a lot of those little free libraries that you can, it's not just for books. It's for little tiny 3D printed capitals and Jolly Ranchers.
Well, in a lot of these, they're actually changing the name. There is still the Little Free Library system, but they're also starting what they're calling Little Free Pantries, mm-hmm. and kind of operating as DIY food pantries, leave what you can, take what you need. And so I think you'll see more and more of those. I know it sometimes takes a little longer to get up to Chippewa Falls, but they're really everywhere in the Chicago area where my parents live. And I'm slowly seeing more and more here in Madison.
Yeah, so there is a great concept. There is one that I pass in the city of Chippewa Falls. I live outside of town. So it's not that they don't exist,
here, but they're not nearly as numerous. And yeah, I guess I just never thought of the other uses as a pantry or as a way just to bring, you know, little toys and little cheer to folks along the way.
And if you're curious, if you have any in your neighborhood, there's actually a little free library website. You can enter your zip code and it shows you all the ones in your area. My mom is a former English teacher, so she was recently trying to get rid of some of the extra excess books that we have. She has, like, you know, 30 copies of like each picture book when you know, every student needed one. So we were looking for little free libraries to leave them in, and we found more than 15 within like a half mile walking distance of my apartment. So it's really crazy how many there are when you actually look for them.
Yeah, that's a very good point. It occurs to me I have so many books in my storage room in the basement. Maybe I need a little free library at the end of my driveway.
You can do that.
You'd get nothing but political books by and large, but they'd be there and they'd be free. All right, let's move on.
Yours would not be very popular.
No, well, only with a sliver of the population, and God bless every one of you. next is about summer camps and a special kind of summer camp, and says here a former rocket scientist is involved.
Yes, her name is Marina Bloomer, and she started a summer camp program called Stellar Tech Girls, and they're camps, they're after school programs, and they're weekend workshops that are geared towards young girls and teach them about STEM. So STEM is kind of a newer phrase that's used to explain careers in science, technology, engineering, and math. And it's been on the rise for, I would say, the past 15-ish years or so. I actually went to a STEM high school its very first year that it was started, and it was not by choice. I am not interested in any of those fields. I've always been the artsy type, but our public high school was kind of, I guess, ahead of its time. And we were called Wheeling STEM Academy, even though we were just a general public high school. But it's really is the future. And the great part of these careers is that they don't have a lot of female representation historically, and women like Marina are working to change that. So she has a background as a rocket scientist, which is impressive in and of itself. Now she's a business owner. She owns this business that starts all of these summer camps, and they do everything from learning how to build things. They are given just a problem like Wisconsin is in a drought. What can we do about it? And then they have a blank sheet of paper and they'll try to either devise some sort of solution that they would go to the government and ask for, or some sort of contraption that they could build to help individual farmers deal with this. It's really just a great thinking camp and a great alternative. Maybe your kid is not so sporty and they wouldn't love those adventure outdoor camps. There are so much more than that offered here in Wisconsin.
And on top of that, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say one of the best parts is that it's taught by all women as well.
And the thing is, you just don't know who you're going to inspire. I mean, a lot of them will come through the program. Okay, that was nice. Move on to something else. But somebody else is going to be there and say, that's exactly what I want to do, or that's exactly what I want to be. And so anytime you provide those kinds of a little bit more specific opportunities for kids, that's a positive all the way around.
And the older I get, the more interesting it is to look back at stuff that I really just loved as a kid, and finding that it's really come full circle and I still love doing it as an adult. I mean, in my free time, I would just have a journal and I would write little poems. And what I was writing about was just observations. You know, I remember one of the poems that my mom actually has framed in our house. Again, she was an English teacher. Thinking was required in our family. Was just an observation. I was waiting at the doctor's office and there was like a window facing the street and there was a lot of traffic. So I wrote a poem about the traffic, which when you think about it, 25 years later, here I am being a reporter whose main job is to observe people and write about what I see. So, you know, those things, it's amazing. Kids really know what they want to do and what they like much more sooner than sometimes even they realize.
And again, if you're teaching science and math, again, always a good thing for kids overall. There was not that many years ago. There was controversy about, you know, girls being exposed to enough opportunities in science and math. And that takes us to our third topic, because I can't recall if it was a Barbie or another type of doll, but there was a talking doll. And one of the things that it said when you pulled the string or pushed the button is, math is hard. And there was a huge backlash about that. Like, why would you put that into a talking doll and make them feel like, you know, they don't need to study math or go into math? Well, thankfully, the folks at Mattel have done a bit more with Barbie over the years, to the point now where there's a Barbie movie coming out this week, which I'm sure we can find a Wisconsin tie for that.
Yes. Well, I mean, at the most basic level, Barbie is actually from the fictional town of Willows, Wisconsin. So she's theoretically supposed to be born and raised here. But we thought it would be fun in celebration of one of the biggest movies, or certainly the most anticipated movie of the summer. They've really had been running commercials for like the better part of the past year. We found some of the most Wisconsin Barbies that Mattel has ever made. So, of course, we start with the basketball Barbie. You know, someone to rival Giannis. When you try to, if you kept Barbie to her normal dimensions, she would be something around the height of 7'6". So seems what? Like it would be viable. I mean, well, if you keep her dimensions, she would also still weigh like a little less than 100 pounds. So that's a discussion for a different time. We also found an eco-minded Barbie, which we thought would fit right in with possibly the Department of Natural Resources here in Wisconsin, as well as the politician Barbie. And then over the years, Mattel has released a few lines of farmer Barbies, but in particular, two we loved were the orchard farmer Barbie, who comes with 11 farm animals and a barn, as well as the chicken farmer Barbie, who wears her Live, Love, Farm t-shirt. So these aren't your Barbies that you probably grew up playing with. I mean, I don't know if you've been to a walk down the Barbie aisle at Target lately, but I mean, there are Barbies doing everything. There's construction Barbies, there's bird watcher Barbies, there's still Barbie going to the mall, Barbie being a babysitter. Basically, Barbie does everything nowadays. And I think that's a great message to share.
I guess I just never knew about the Wisconsin, you know, origin, because doesn't everybody think Barbie's just has always been from Malibu?
I know. And something fun, if Barbie isn't up your alley this weekend, they're also releasing that big movie Oppenheimer about the atomic bomb. And something I found out when I was calling around to see, you know, it's supposed to be a giant weekend at local theaters. What a lot of people, managers at these local theaters were telling me was that they're seeing this influx in people buying tickets to both and planning for a double header. So I think what's happening here a lot of times is that the woman wants to go see the Barbie movie and the husband wants to go see Oppenheimer, and they're striking a deal. Why not both enjoy both movies with each other and doing a double header?
I guess if that's, I feel a little weird doing, you know, gender splits that way, but I raised two daughters, so I know which theater I'd be going into and getting an appreciation for Barbie's world. In fact, our first trip to Disney World was completely built around taking the six-year-old to go see the Barbie's World live stage show at Disney World. So dads, if you're listening out there, don't be looking for any excuses to go into the theater next door. You can do that some other time. If you've got a kid, you go see that Barbie movie. Christina Laurie, thank you so much. We'll look for these stories more in the newsletter. Sign up at the website, upnorthnewswi.com. Have a great day.
You too.
Getting back to our question that we asked online, Aaron, on our social media sites, we put up a very simple blank has the best fish fry in Wisconsin. And Christine puts up that her cousin owns a bar in Green Bay that has the best fish fry anywhere. And if I hadn't been there myself 6 weeks ago, I would have said, based on the spelling, it looks like it's Marik's, but apparently it's Marik's, Mariques.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that either.
So, like I said, wouldn't have known, but 6 weeks ago, went there. Amazing perch. And I'm not usually a perch fish fry person. I'm good with your traditional cod or what have you. But Yeah. Yeah. This Merrick's in Green Bay. You want perch? That's where you're going on a Friday.
My favorite fish fry is the one I went to on Saturday. I was fishing with my dad and some friends, and we fried up our own perch and bluegill afterwards.
See, now that of course, that's the very best. I mean, it's kind of like home cooking. You can ask people where to go, but you know, when you can get your own cooking done, especially bluegill, which I haven't had a bluegill shore lunch in forever. But yeah, you're doing it right. You're definitely doing it right. Let's take a break, and we'll have today's history lesson, today's music break, a couple more headlines before we wrap up the hour here. You're up north.
And I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 53 degrees.
This summer, Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, The Stephanie Miller Show. On Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
With every single guy in town.
Hey, hey. This would be Dion DiBucci, better known as the singer Dion, who was born this day 84 years ago with Run Around Sue, Dion, several hits for the Bronx-born DiMucci. It's also a birthday today for Ryan Cabrera, turns 41. This is also the birth date for Machine Gun Kelly. No, not that one. The original one, not the rapper, contemporary singer whose birth name is Colson Baker, but rather the gangster who was born this day in 1895. Machine Gun Kelly died in prison in 1954. Actor James Brolin is 83. A lot of folks nowadays are probably more familiar with his son, Josh Brolin, but James Brolin was a familiar presence on screens large and small back in the day. We mentioned that Martha Reeves is 82 today. Actor Vin Diesel is 56, and actress Kristen Bell is 43. Years old today. We've got most of the songs that we're playing today are kind of out of the 60s just by coincidence. And we just played your Runaround Sue. And now we're going to play the number one song from this day in 1960 by 15-year-old Brenda Lee.
I'm sorry, so sorry that I.
Brenda Lee would later give us Rock Around the Christmas Tree, and I think still is doing Christmas-themed shows to this day. But she had the number one song for 3 weeks in 1960 at the tender age of 15. Then you get to other female singers and the impression that they make much later on. You go to the year 2014, and it was on this day that Shakira became the first person on Facebook to accumulate 100 million likes, which says as much about Facebook as it does about Shakira in terms of the social media age that we live in now. And one more number one song. We're only going up a couple of years here to 1964, and it was from the Four Seasons. And I don't even know why I told you it was the Four Seasons. You know, right? As soon as you hear this, Frankie Valli and the rest. It's another one I'd like to hear today's boy groups do. You know, they do harmonies. I'd like to hear this from them. For example, NSYNC. It was on this day in 1998 that NSYNC got their big break when their concert special aired on the Disney Channel. They only got the gig because the Backstreet Boys were forced to back out after one of the boys needed some surgery. NSYNC had put out I Want You Back a few months earlier. It was languishing on the charts until that Disney special, and the rest is history. On this day in 1976, gymnast Nadia Comaneci became the first person in Olympic history to score a perfect 10 in gymnastics at the 1976 Summer Games in Montreal. I remember seeing that at the time. She was an immediate worldwide sensation for the agility and the skill that she brought to all of the gymnastic events for the Olympics. I was looking back at the newsletters that we put together at Up North News, and 1 year ago in our daily newsletter, we passed along the story about how Wisconsin's Republican gubernatorial hopeful Tim Michaels, the campaign had to apologize for a flyer that claimed he won the endorsement of the National Rifle Association, which had not endorsed anyone. The campaign of Tim Michaels said it was an unintentional mistake, but nevertheless, the flyer with the false claim had landed in mailboxes all around Wisconsin. Coming back to some other headlines that I want to share, I want to play a kind of a longer soundbite. It's about 2 minutes long, but it is about Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama, who has put a hold on hundreds upon hundreds of military promotions and other changes and has greatly harmed military readiness as well as morale because he wants to play politics with the issue of abortion and the military. And he is opposed to the Defense Department saying that now that the woman's right to an abortion has been repealed on a national basis, but still exists on a state-by-state basis, that the military will, you know, make sure that women have the freedom and ability to travel wherever they need for abortion care, which is part of comprehensive women's health care. Well, Pentagon spokesperson John Kirby was asked by a reporter what that Defense Department rule has to do with military readiness, and listen to his response.
With his holds on military promotions because of social policy and saying that he is harming military readiness. On the flip side of that impasse, and this is something that Republican lawmakers have raised, why is the new DOD policy on abortion critical to military readiness?
I'm really glad you asked that question. No, I mean, I really am. 1 in 5 members of the U.S. military are women, 20%. We're an all-volunteer force. Nobody's forcing you to sign up and go. People volunteer to go. You raise your right hand and you say, I'm gonna do this for a few years or even for my life. And it might cost me my life to do it. And when you sign up and you make that contract, you have every right to expect that the organization, in this case the military, is gonna take care of you and they're gonna take care of your families. And they're going to make sure that you can serve with dignity and respect, no matter who you are, who you love, or how you worship or don't. And our policies, whether they're diversity, inclusion, and equity, or whether they're about transgender individuals who qualify physically and mentally to serve, to be able to do it with dignity, or whether it's about female service members, 1 in 5, or female family members being able to count on the kinds of health care and reproductive care specifically that they need to serve. That is a foundational, sacred obligation of military leaders across the river. I've seen it myself, and it matters because it says we're invested in you because you are being willing to invest in us. You're investing your life.
I think that I don't know that you could find a better way to lay out the stakes and why you would not treat women as second-class members of the military, nor Americans in the LGBTQ community who are willing to put on the uniform of our country and serve. They deserve so much better than Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville. The entire military deserves better. One quick final headline here. Governor Tony Evers was asked about tax rebates as maybe a way to bridge the divide between how he wants to cut taxes versus Republicans. Evers said tax rebates come and go. People don't recognize them as well. You have to apply for them on your tax form. He'd prefer a tax cut. And he's right. He just doesn't want to give most of it to 11 millionaires. More in our next hour. You're up north.